Insurrection. Obstruction. Indictments. Civilly liable for sexual abuse. The one man responsible for all that could be sitting in a prison cell on election day and still be elected commander-in-chief for these United States. That man is beholden to Putin, weakened NATO the last time around, and is currently tying himself to wealthy Saudi oil money. He enriched himself when government stated his properties. He campaigned on wanting to use government to go after his political rivals and wants to expand executive power. If Donald Trump is reelected, our nation is lost. So let's roll up our sleeves, get to work, and tell the MAGA folks, no more, before it's too late. Welcome back to Liberal Dan Radio, the talk from the left. That's right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. To join the conversation, area code 914-803-4131. That's 914-803-4131. If you are listening live and you want to join the conversation, just go ahead and go to the Liberal Dan Radio chat room, liberaldanradio.com, which is on YouTube, or on Twitch, twitch.tv/liberaldanradio. I don't follow or watch or whatever the chat room on Blog Talk Radio. So just come on over to either of those two and watch or listen there. That way you can, if you're calling in, just leave your name and area code and I'll know who you are, where you're coming from. Unless I'm pretty sure who you are, like if you're a Khalil or a Wes, I'll know who you are. otherwise, I've already recognized your number close enough. I don't have it. I couldn't like call it right now from memory, be like, oh yeah, that's their numbers. But when the numbers pop up, I'm like, oh yeah, those are those two. Otherwise, leave your messages in the chat and let me know who you are so we could do a small bit of call screening. To support the show, there's many free ways to support the show. I said free ways, not three ways. You can like the video, the live stream, subscribe to the channel, comment and like on any of the other videos I've posted to get the algorithms going. Make that final push to 1,000 followers, 1,000 subscribers here on YouTube, on Twitch. You can follow me over on Twitch as well. You could have both streams running if you're on a computer. Just mute one of them so you don't hear two different types of whatever, so that gets multiple views up. If you have Amazon Prime, you can become a subscriber on Twitch for free. Helps me out. Doesn't cost you anything. Otherwise, you could also subscribe on Twitch, become a member, Liberal Danimal, on YouTube for low monthly costs. You get some benefits. You can buy bits. You can do super chats as well on YouTube or bits on Twitch. You could do one-time contributions with the super chats or the super stickers or the bits, or you could buy me a cider. Go to liberaldan.com, click the buy me a cider button, and you'll see a little message pop up here, or just go to buymeacoffee.com/liberaldanradio. You can Venmo Liberal Dan, do friends and family because you're not buying anything from me. Or you could always become a Liberal Dan Radio patron. Patrons will get some votes on what goes on in the show. And I might ask you how you feel about certain guests coming on. I might ask how you feel about certain bits. You might get access to early bits if I produce them early enough. You also get some early access to bits if you are a Liberal Danimal at the moment. The higher levels of Liberal Danimalship will get you that access for the long term, but in the short term, all Liberal Danimals are getting the early access as my appreciation for everybody who is adding that additional help to the show. I appreciate every single one of you for coming to the show, watching every time, or as much as you can, sharing the word, bringing more people in, just having us have a good, fun time in the chat so I can interact with y'all. Talks about the news, shoot the breeze, and all the other fun stuff that happens on here on Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left, that's right. Shout out to everyone in the chat right now. We got Wes and Steve. Steve from across the pond. See Aaron. I don't see Jolie yet. I'm not sure if there's an issue or not, but hopefully everything's okay. Dakota Dave, good to see you. Jeff Curry, let's keep your mind in the gutter, but let's get some clever stuff out there. Jackie, good to see you, Jackie, as well. Appreciate you as always. We got 9 viewers, 6 likes. Just remember to smash that like button. And we're going to be talking. I was all ready to talk about what was going to happen, what was supposed to happen today. And of course, that changed today. So now we have a new topic to talk about. And I have a funny topic to talk about later because I got to pick on my wife who picked on me on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, I am on social media on all different places. Liberal Dan Radio on Facebook, Liberal Dan Radio on TikTok. If you use TikTok, some people don't know how, doesn't like TikTok. It's fine. He's free not to use it. I have, the law firm that I work for, as my full-time position, we do cybersecurity training for everybody every year, just to make sure that they're aware of threats, with the firm's data, with making sure they're not scammed, making sure they're not, getting tricked by outside people to get access into the systems. And the person at the end of that, the cybersecurity expert who gave the information out at the end of that video, gave his TikTok channel so you could come in and see more information about how to be cybersecurity. So, I mean, I'll go with the cybersecurity one on that one. I agree with Hal on most things, but I'm going to go with the cybersecurity guy on that one. But on Twitter as well, Liberal Dan Radio on Twitter. I also have a channel for gaming and other pop culture stuff, nerdy type stuff. That's nerdydan.com, nerdydan, D-O-T-C-O-M, all one word. It's that username everywhere as well, YouTube, Twitch, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, etc. So if you want to follow me on those places as well, I'm eventually going to try and make a push to become a YouTube partner on Twitter. At the moment, I'm nowhere near it. I'm not worried about it. I am an affiliate on Twitch with both nerdydan.com and with Liberal Dan Radio. So, it happened. So, as Trump says,
it is what it is.
Now, see, and a lot of some people are like maybe cringe when I play the "it is what it is" sound, but as the election is getting closer, I think it is vital that we remember the context in which that statement was made. Hey, Jolie, good to see you, Jolie. We need to remember the context in which "it is what it is" was given. Can anybody in the chat, or do you remember exactly why or when what Donald Trump was referencing when it came to him saying "it is what it is"? I don't want to spoil it for anybody else. If somebody in the chat can say it first, I'll let them get the kudos for that. But we'll give a few minutes. I would play the Jeopardy theme, but the Jeopardy theme is probably copyrighted. I don't want a copyright strike. And unfortunately, even there are people who did the Mission Impossible theme, and they were just doing like with their own voices, and they got a copyright strike because they used software to pick up sounds, and I guess they did such a good job imitating the whole deal that the software was like, oh, they're doing Mission Impossible, here's a copyright strike, and they got taken, they lost for at least a little bit their monetization abilities because of it. And which is why I'm always of the opinion that I'm fine with using technology to pick up any possible copyright violations that one might have or that one might have against them, but there needs to be human review for stuff like that. When somebody is simply just using their own voice and just being silly with the Mission Impossible theme, but yet they get flagged for playing the real one, then something is wrong with your software. No software is going to be 100% perfect. There's going to be false positives, and you shouldn't be positive. You shouldn't be for false positives. Jeff Curry, it is what it is, in his diaper. Funny, but the wrong question. Jolie, you are on the right track. It was about COVID. That is very close. You're definitely on the right track, and it was something specific about COVID. So we'll go on there. While I'm waiting for that answer, I wonder if you recognize why I'm wearing a football jersey. Usually don't wear like bright colors on the show or whatever, but this football jersey is a football jersey of Bobby Boucher from the Southeastern Louisiana State University, the fictional university from the movie The Waterboy. And my younger son had a kickball game today. It was fifth grade versus the teachers, and the students got to wear the shirts of whatever college or college team that they're a fan of. So, since we both work from home, we were like, all right, well, let's just go. And well, actually, I was feeling not too good for the majority of the day, so I feel better now, but I was feeling not great the most of the day, so I just took a sick day today. But I felt good enough, I guess, to drag my butt over to the football game or the kickball game. And so my wife wore the Louisiana Tech shirt, and I wore this because I wanted to be funny wearing a Bobby Boucher shirt. And so... and surprisingly enough, you know, I remember back in middle school, you know, my youngest was in fifth grade. I remember in middle school, we had the eighth grade versus, or it was really eighth, and it was middle school versus teachers, and we kicked their butts. We kicked the teachers' butts in basketball. The teachers weren't that great, and we were pretty good for, comparatively at least, compared to the teachers. So I remember there was actually a teacher that was taller than me, but he had a weird shot. So he would like put the ball down before he would bring it up for the shot, and I blocked it. And I was like, how did I block his shot? That's weird. Anyway, so we go to the game, and the kids actually won the game, which is the first time, I guess, in the history of the school actually doing this, that the kids beat the teachers in the game. And it was my son's team that actually did it. And it was my son's best friend that hit the game winning home run to make it happen in the bottom of the fifth, which was a 5-inning game. So it was the bottom of the 5-inning game. And in the bottom of the fifth, they were down by 2 runs. It was 4-2. And my son's best friend kicks a 3-run home run. They had set up like a home run thing, and if the ball landed on the other side of the cones, that was a home run. And so he hit the home run, and he had hit a ground ball foul first, and I shouted out at him. I don't think he heard me, but I shouted at him, you need to hit a home run, because there was 2 outs left. And he hit the ball far, and it was nuts, and they were crazy. And it was the first time that they ever beat the teachers. So I was very happy to see how happy my son and his friends were. So that was pretty cool. So, let's see. Yes, Wes. So yes, I'm wearing the jersey of a fictional university. Happy Gilmore 2 is coming. I didn't know that. That's pretty awesome. So, but yeah, sometimes sequels are bad, but sometimes sequels can actually be better. I think the Scream 2 sequel, for example, was better than Scream. And not to say the Scream was bad, but the Scream 2 sequel. Actually, I think all of the Scream movies that have come out have been pretty darn good. They've done a really good job with them, with all of them. I'm pretty impressed with how they've managed to not make themselves jump the shark. So Joey was right about COVID. When Donald Trump said...
It is what it is.
He was being questioned about the deaths. And it was right about this time of the year, 4 years ago. So when we're being asked by politicians, are you better off 4 years ago than now? Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? The answer is yes, because we don't have a careless, thoughtless, piece of crap president who, when asked about the people dying from COVID-19, he doesn't answer...
It is what it is.
So I will continue to play that damn sound while he's still politically relevant, because everybody needs to remember how thoughtless of a bastard this MF-er is. And, but yeah. It's something that just everybody needs to be. Now, of course, the people who are MAGA, the maggots, those idiots, the people who will never question anything he does, the people who you ask him about him wanting to be a dictator, and they'll be like, well, you know, maybe we need a dictator, because they don't care. They just like him. They don't care about democracy. They don't care about voting. They don't care about freedom. They don't care about the Constitution. They are Trump worshipers. They're not going to care that he said it is what it is. They're not going to care that once the vaccines came out and were distributed, that the death rates amongst conservative areas were 5-1 versus the death rates in the liberal blue areas. All they care about is making sure Donald Trump gets back in office again, because he's their God. He's above Jesus to them. So, Jeff, did you run up to the ball like Happy Gilmore? Yes. Did you be like, get in your home? The ball is your home. Get in your home. So anyway, that's again, we will remind everybody until it's over with that how careless and thoughtless Donald Trump was during the pandemic, because despite the fact that you have those big chunk of the people in the party who are going to continue to support him no matter what, there are other people who are going to go the other way, like the Nikki Haley supporters who you know, might be Republican and might, you know, disagree with Biden on a lot of things, but they're not going to come out and vote for, like, a bunch of them aren't going to come out and vote for Trump because they're sick and tired of his BS. And if there's anybody on the fence, perhaps one of the things that can remind them is the fact that so many people died because of Donald Trump's ineptitude during COVID-19 and wanting to, you know, put bleach into the skin and inject disinfectant into the skin and put light under the skin to try and kill, you know, bless his heart for trying to think outside the box, but that would require working brain cells for him to actually think. Bless his little heart, his cold black heart filled with pus and goo. But yeah, you just can't. Maybe those people just need to understand and need to be reminded just how bad he was if they're on the fence. Because if you're on the fence, you're questioning it, which means you need something might be easy, like Humpty Dumpty. You might be able to be pushed over to the good side just with one or two just, you know, reasonable arguments. And if the COVID argument isn't, then other ones will be. But before we get to that, we will head on over to our good friend, Khalil. How are you doing, Khalil?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling in. What's going on today?
Nothing much. I'm hoping that I get to go out soon, go to Richmond soon.
Mm-hmm. What's just anything in particular, or?
Well, I was telling you about my the FBI guy that I got introduced to.
Right.
Well, one of his offices is in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
And I'm hoping I can stay in a hotel for maybe 2 or 3 nights and then visit his office one day.
That would be cool.
Yep.
Any other big plans you want to do whilst in Richmond?
Maybe tour the city, go to some arcades, go to a biker bar if they have one.
Mm-hmm.
And go to the mall, not really listen to music at a club, but more like hang out in a hotel and stuff like that.
Cool. Well, I hope you're able to get that done. I hope that you can do that. That would be neat.
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm just laughing at someone. Jolie quoted Happy Gilmore again from the chat, and I was like, are you too good for your home? When he was, like, yelling at the ball. So I'm just laughed at that. But go on. Continue.
I don't know if I told you, but the Officer Perkins, who's no longer a police officer with Charlottesville Police.
Right.
I basically wrote, after I wrote Bastard and then before writing FU on his personal page,
uh-huh.
It was, you're not personally connected to Caesar Perkins. I was like wondering if he put that on there, or if someone else, Facebook automatically did that.
I think it's a weird Facebook thing where, like, I don't know if it's a setting that somebody could do on Facebook or not. Like, I have found since I haven't seen a setting where I can do that, where I can stop people with personal connections, but there are, I mean, I know you can set it up to where only people like who are friends of, or who can send you friend requests or who can message on things. But there are, I had a friend of mine who one of his accounts got banned. Actually, it was Nimbus Yosh, with the smooth sounds of the Percy podcast. One of his main accounts got yeeted. Fortunately, he has other ones. But it was for some silly thing that, you know, if he could actually talk to a human about it, they would understand. But it was unfortunately, you can never talk to a human about things anymore. He was trying to send a message or send a friend request to somebody. And I've seen that too once or twice where Facebook would tell you, it does not appear that you have a personal question or personal connection with this person. So we're not going to allow you to take this action or whatever. And it's like, what? How do you know? Like, how do you, just because I don't have a connection with you through Facebook, that doesn't mean that there's no connection whatsoever, which is silly. So, but yeah.
Yeah. And see, the thing is, I basically made sure I kept it a little bit civil. I didn't talk about his family. I didn't threaten him. But
right.
I just let him know. You making decisions for those people at the store and you taking my kindness for weakness, I have no respect for you. And I left it at that. The only reason I did it is because basically both his boss and the sergeant allowed him to get away with what he did.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's how the thin blue line works. Is you got officers covering up for other officers. I have a video in my Coming to Terms with Activism series that I've done. I need to make some new ones for that one. I haven't done one of those in a while, where I talk about like how certain words that people don't understand in my one discussing ACAB or All Cops Are Bastards. You know, I kind of discuss why people come to that realization, why people will say that. And part of the reason people say that is because instead of actually having justice, instead of people, you know, bad cops getting punished by their peers, bad cops get protected by their peers. And so that's why, and when you have that happen, you're going to have people who are going to be reaching out and lashing out against the cops. In fact, I have a friend who I just got reacquainted with recently on Facebook because she was apparently in a very abusive relationship. And one of the things that this conversation with my friend reminded me of is the fact that there was a Supreme Court ruling that unless the police physically have you in their custody, i.e. unless you are actually detained by them, the Supreme Court has ruled that they have no duty to protect you. So they have no responsibility to when it comes to like enforcing orders of protection. They have no duty to actually protect you. So like restraining orders are like just worth about as much as the piece of paper that they're written on, and there's generally no duty to protect. So yeah, that's why people have big problems with cops many of the time. So
yeah, but see, the thing is, had the other chiefs been there and had it been one of the other officers, because one of the other officers who was a sergeant or a captain, he corrected his fellow officers that was giving me a hard time. And I know had he been there, he would have gotten corrected, because he had said, if you have any problem with any officers, just let me know. And see, he's no longer there. And the chief was good about that too, because see, I know the officer, it starts with a W, he would have done something, because when the officer was just coming at me with attitude, he corrected the behavior. And This situation was much worse, so I know he would have corrected that officer.
But you said that good one is no longer there, right?
Yep, he got injured, and the other one retired and went on to the other police department. But it's like, you know what? He also doesn't have comments on his personal page. The officer I had a problem with. The only thing you can do is send him a message. That's what I did. But because he said that people are judging him and all that stuff. But basically, my mom's like, if he's acting like that with people that need help, with people that are respecting him, you're going to get judged.
Right.
So he's used to being phony and used to either being phony or people allowing him to get away with stuff. Most of the time, he's just phony.
That's what power does. Power will do that. Well, if you do ever get out to Richmond and you ever get to have that meeting with the FBI guy, you definitely make sure to let us know how it goes. I definitely want to hear about that. You know, definitely want to hear what you're able to get and talk about that, whatever. So, anything else to talk about before we head on to the other topics?
One of the problems I have is the right, not all right, but not all Republicans, but right-wing Republicans, they tend to call. When it comes to, I may have talked about this, but, like, I was calling out Steven Crowder. Did I tell you that?
Mm-hmm. I think I remember you might have told me a little bit about calling Steven Crowder, because I have at least one reaction video to him as well, because he's a typical blowhard.
Yeah, he's a typical one that when it comes to guns and other things, he doesn't want to see his own hypocrisy, but when it's the other way around, he'll call somebody else a hypocrite, and usually it's something that's not a hypocrisy, like allowing certain things like firing a fake gun in a movie. It's not a hypocrisy, but supporting banning police from military-style weapons but not civilians, that's hypocrisy. But if they had a neutral stance, or if it was a situation where it was the other way around, or they saw their own hypocrisy while calling other people that, I wouldn't be saying anything. But considering they consider a person that's acting that, but they don't consider actual hypocrisy by not allowing the people who are forced to carry firearms and people who are carrying it, we know that they are most likely safe and they have dummy rounds, saying that it's not hypocrisy how we don't get it, but then, you know, they want civilians to have whatever they want. Something is wrong.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because we can have – there are people who I can disagree with and have disagreements on the issues, but they're still not hypocrites because they're at least consistent in the way in which they hold their positions. But there are definitely plenty of people, especially conservatives, because, again, to quote Nimbus Yosh, these smooth sounds of the Percy podcast, hypocrisy is a conservative prerequisite. So there are many conservatives who are quite hypocritical on a great many things.
Yeah, and see, the thing about the gun thing is you either have the hypocrisy where they don't see their own, or you either have someone, you know, acting as if that's the only thing you're talking about.
Right.
Because I'm talking about if we can ban certain people from guns, we can ban criminals. And the only thing they hear is the gun control part. And to me, that just shows that the person is not really they're either not moral at all, or they're not that moral, not that fair. When the only thing you can take, only thing you hear is the gun control part, but you don't hear about the inconsistency on the Black Panthers or police or anything like that.
Well, you will hear about the inconsistency on the part of the Black, when it comes to their wanting to take guns away from the Black Panthers front here on this show, because I've talked about that several times. But, you know.
Well, you do. Yeah. But, the average one that doesn't want gun control is a selfish person.
Right.
But that's
they won't
want
to see it because they don't want to admit the hypocrisy. Like when we went through the Jimmy Kimmel thing, where it was just like, they quoted Donald Trump and said it was Joe Biden saying it. And the Donald Trump supporters were like, that's terrible. It just shows that he's unfit for office. And they're like, oh, wait, I misread the quote. Let me reread it. Donald Trump said such and such. And then the people were like, oh, well, he's an important person. Or he needs to be able to do that. Or there's a good reason for that. And it's just like, they don't even, They don't need, they're just so brainwashed. They can never admit, like, one of the first things that I've noticed when I really started digging into politics is that conservatives, it's a mortal sin to ever admit that you're wrong to anybody unless you're in a confessional booth. And then who knows how much they admit they're wrong. But it's a mortal sin to ever admit that you're wrong. Because if you do, it's somehow a sign of weakness. Like if you remember them back in 2009, 10, or whatever, during the Obama administration, when Barack Obama was going around and he was actually, you know, trying to make things right for wrongs that America's did across the world. And conservatives were calling it the Barack Obama apologized for America tour. I'm like, well, what's wrong with that? If America has done wrong, it's the job of the American president to make things right. And part of making things right is acknowledging that you've done wrong and apologizing for it and making it right.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
The other thing is they wanted Obama to bend over backwards. They weren't grateful that he was talking about personal responsibility. They wanted him to forget that he was African-American. That's what they wanted. Half African-American. Mm-hmm. They just wanted him to just kiss ass to racist people.
Or as they said, a half African-American.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't like Charlie Kirk, because he wasn't happy with Martin Luther King talking about loving your enemies. Mm-hmm. He had something negative to say about Martin Luther King because he didn't bend over backwards for races. And to me, anybody that's like that is not respectable, in my opinion.
Right.
You got to have
Charlie Kirk has plenty of reasons why not to like him. I mean, he's, you know, anti-Semite. He pushes all sorts of garbage theories. Yeah, Charlie Kirk is just garbage in and of itself. So, Anyway, thank you very much for calling in, Khalil. I appreciate you. Feel free to call back any other time. And you have a good rest of your night. All right, man?
You too.
All right, leave you on hold. You can stay on as long as you want.
All right, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. All right, friend of the show, Khalil, everybody. Thank you for calling in. You know, again, just one of the things that Khalil has brought up is he wants to have a program called Guns to Guardrails, where people, you know, turn in their guns and they melt down the guns and use the part of the metal to create guardrails to create better, like, infrastructure on bridges and stuff like that. And I think it's a neat idea. I think people could really get behind it because it's it follows the first thing that I usually have a problem with when it comes to many things. It's catchy. Like many people like will create a name of a program and the name just sucks. And so it's a catchy name and it's a good idea. It promotes actually taking away dangerous things off the street and turning it to something that makes the streets literally more safer. Literally more safe. I guess that's the better English. I'm a software developer, so I don't have to speak English well. I don't have to actually spell things correctly. As long as I spell the same thing incorrectly the same way. That's how software development works. Let's see. Jeff Curry, do you have to be a Catholic to go into a confessional booth? I'd have a whale of a time in there. The priests would love it. They are perfect. I mean, you and me both. I would probably give... I would probably tell a bunch of stories and I'd be like, excuse me, Father, would you like some lotion for this next story or whatever? But yeah, no, I think that technically in order for you to be able to, now I'm a Jew. So as a Jewish person, I'm giving what I understand of Catholicism. So I might be wrong and any other Catholics in the chat might correct me. But as far as I understand it, in order for you to actually give confessional, you have to also give communion or something like that. I think that's like you have to be able to do one to do the other or both or whatever. So you have to be cleansed, I guess, that way through the purification of whatever rituals that take place that, you know, turn crackers into, you know, meat and blood and wine into blood and turn you into a cannibal or however that works to be able to have your sins absolved by a man in a robe. So, hey, Suzanne, what's going on? Good to see you. Hey, Cynthia from Texas, good to see you as well. And I saw Nerd Misha as well earlier on, leaving it on for some watch hours. Appreciate you, Nerd Misha. It's another thing technically you can do, leave a video on and watch it for watch hours. You don't necessarily need that at this point, I don't think. I think we're doing well. I think we primed that pump well enough to where I think we're on a – when we hit 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, we should be able to also hit the 4,000 view mark. We might hit the 4,000 view hours in the last year before we hit 1,000 subscribers at this point. But Jeff Kerr, I live next to a Catholic church. It could be just go shout it outside. Just sit on the outside of the confessional booth with like a microphone and be like, yesterday I did so-and-so with so-and-so's sister. And yeah. Hey, Trucker John's in the chat. Shout out to Trucker John. Trucker John made affiliate. He actually, I think he hit 1,000 and the 4,000 views. So mazel tov to him. John Deft's here. Good to see you. Vicky, good to see you. I'm an atheist, but that evangelical upbringing was rough. The evangelicals are so weird because, like, I remember having, like, they would march on campus. Like, when I was at, like, University of New Orleans, and they would march on campus with their signs, and I'd get into conversations because I like to stir shit. And also, I like to understand why people think the way that they do. You know, part of it is that I like to stir shit. Part of it is, like, to understand why people think the way they do. So, and I'm on signs like, all the people that are going to hell, and, like, one of them is, like, Catholics. I'm like, can you explain to me why Catholics are going to hell? Hey, Rose. And so it was just bizarre to me that evangelicals don't consider Catholics to be Christians. Like, they'll be like, I'm not a Catholic, I'm a Christian. What? Catholicism is literally a sect of Christianity, but go on. Hey, Dawn, good to see you. hey, it's 56 Nick Rich, good to see you. No necessarily planned fat man rants for today, but that doesn't mean it won't happen. So... how the hell did Dan know that I did so-and-so with so-and-so's sister? I have my ways. I have the ways of knowing. I mean, I figure if there's a so-and-so, and if so-and-so has a sister, Jeff, you might very well find a way to get it done. So, get her done. Yes, my cat is glitching. I don't know what... I think I might be a little bit farther back from the camera as usual. So that is why my cat... you're getting to see bits and pieces of cat and not the full cat. You're not getting the full cat experience. Now I'm getting bit, by the way. But, yeah. I do have a little bit of a glitch in the matrix right now. You are so precious, my rosy posies. Your mother must be ignoring you. That's why you came in to see me. It's a cult, or at least our group was. Well, I mean, a lot of religion is cult. Even some Jewish groups are cults, as I've seen. Not in all of them. Hey, Kimchi. Good to see you, Kimchi. The goddess Kimchi is in the house. All hail and worship the goddess Kimchi. Jeff Curry has a talent for doing so-and-so with so-and-so's sister. You and me both, my friend. When they said, did it like this, did it like that, did it with a wiffle ball bat, they were talking about what Jeff did. Jeff should sue the Beastie Boys or what's left of them. So, Cynthia, my Pentecostal mother didn't consider Catholics as true Christians. I'm like, who do you think the Protestants were protesting? Exactly. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Then again, my joke as a Jewish person is that Jesus just wanted to have ham sandwich. That's why he created Christianity, because he was like, damn, that bacon smells delicious, but I can't eat it right now. So let's make a whole ass new religion where we get, where I came down to from heaven to die for your sins and to what do they call it? Fulfill the law so that everybody can eat bacon now. So, I mean, it's a very tempting offer. I mean, if you lead with, hey, follow me, you get to eat bacon, you might have a much more, you know, winning message than, hey, follow me and follow Jesus and you get to ban abortions and have dominion over people's personal lives. That's less of a selling argument, in my opinion. You are so special, Rose. Jesus has a sense of humor. Jesus should have been a stand-up comedian, or is what they said in what they called it in History of the World Part 1, a stand-up philosopher. Yes, Kelly, it's all about the bacon. You know, it's all about that bacon. All about that pork. About that pork. I don't know anyone that don't like bacon. I know one, at least one fictional person, from James, blanking on the frickin' Samuel Jackson's character in Pulp Fiction. Because he wants, because, you know, as John Travolta said, bacon tastes good. Pork chops taste good. And he's like, sewer rat might taste like pumpkin pie, but I wouldn't know because I wouldn't eat the filthy motherfucker. MTG wouldn't even make good bacon. Are you talking about literally, like, with her meat? Or are you talking that she wouldn't make... What are you doing now, cat? Oh, you're saying goodbye? Goodbye. Or are you saying that she actually wouldn't make good bacon in a pan? I love the South Park episode on the Mormons, though. That was hilarious. When they actually go over what the Mormons believe, and as they're going on with the story, and they're saying this is what Mormons actually believe at the bottom of the screen, and then they're singing the song about was it John Smith or whatever, and it's like dum 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 dum, and then at first you don't realize that they're saying dumb, you just think that they're just throwing in the dum 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 in the song to kind of like add to the music or whatever, but then they become more and more pronounced with the dum 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 dum, and you're like, oh, they're calling it dumb. That's hilarious. Oh, Alton Gillespie's in the house. Good to see you, Alton. For the guys, I don't think anybody should be frying bacon naked. Yeah, that could hurt anywhere, specifically in your most delicate of places. But yeah, don't fry bacon naked. You definitely want to have at least an apron on, maybe a shirt. Rosebud bacon. Forbidden bacon. Yeah, 32 viewers and 27 likes what I'm seeing. Crack that whip, kimchi. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. I guess I'm right with H-E-B. Hebes, is that what Hebe means? I always had a problem because, like, as a Jewish person, you know, one of the derogatory ways to refer to Jewish people is Hebes. Like, people call Jewish people Hebes. And so I'm just like, there's a grocery store chain called H-E-B. I'm like, how are they getting away with calling with a national chain of grocery stores called Hebe? It doesn't make sense to me. Like, how has nobody complained? Or just does nobody care enough about Jewish people to worry about it? Or am I the only one who thinks that when I drive by an H-E-B grocery store? That I'm like, why is the name of this grocery chain an anti-Semitic slur? Doesn't make sense to me. And, of course, my cough has come back a little bit. I don't know why that happened. And that can't win for losing. So, and honestly, I don't begrudge people for their faith. I think faith can be a good thing. I mean, faith can be useful to some people. There's somebody who listens to Jeff Kerr's morning show. And like, he used to be like a drug addict, maybe an alcoholic, maybe both. I don't know. And he was able to get cured through faith. Like, that was the answer. He channeled that into his faith and was able to use faith to get out of the cycle of addiction, maybe. And I say maybe because what unfortunately happens is then religion becomes the addiction. And then pushing the religious beliefs on other people becomes the addiction. So then that becomes harmful again. But if you can use religion and faith to better your life, as long as you're not harming anybody else, I have no problem with your faith. I have no problem with anybody's faith if that's the case. Not one bit. But when people start using that faith to harm other people, to interfere with other people, to make other people, I'm getting itchy from Rose's hair all over the place. Like, I'm not allergic to cats, but sometimes the cat hair gets all into my hair. And I was like, come on, hair, cat hair, get off my face. So, Kelly, wasn't aware that was a slur. I mean, I don't know if the intent of H-E-B was the intent to be, was the intent to be a slur. But yes, H-E-B, H-E-B in and of itself, you know, I understood the, if it's abbreviated for Hebrews, I mean, I understood that. I mean, I was just being silly. But if it's under, if people actually, when people call other people Hebes, or that's typically mean in a derogatory racist way. It's just like, not exactly the same way as dropping the M-bomb. I'm not going to say that, like, calling somebody Hebe is the same thing as calling somebody the N-bomb, because I'll say the word Hebe and I won't say the N-bomb. But there's similarities there, so to speak. So, daily news. No daily news. This is not a Broncos jury. First of all, hello, daily news. How are you doing? Good to see you. Hope you and the better half are all doing well. But no, this is not a Broncos jersey. This is a jersey from Southeastern Louisiana State University from the movie The Waterboy, and it's Bobby Boucher's jersey. So that's the jersey that I'm wearing. If you came in earlier, you'd understand, you would have heard that already, but I'll explain it again. That's fine. But it is good to see you, Daily News. We lost one conservative poster who could not help himself from attacking other people and being mean to other people when I clearly said, when you have disagreements in the chat, to focus your arguments about the topics and points being made, not against the poster themselves. And he came back and started just attacking the individuals. And I was like, enough, we're done, you're blocked. So, and that was it. That was the end of Mr. Gibson, Gibson Media. So, yes, to everybody, Daily News is one of the longest Liberal Dan Radio listeners. So he is welcome here, him and his wife. Good people, even if we disagree with politically, just everybody behave. I feel like I have to say that whenever we have conservative guests, because sometimes the conservatives will get off riling up the other ones. Sometimes the guests sometimes the other folks get on and start getting aggravated and start forgetting that you're supposed to go after the points being made and not the person making them, etc. Cynthia Hebe, named for the son of the founder, Howard E. Butt. Well, maybe I'll forgive them then for not calling it Butts Grocery. Although they do have, if you look up the commercial on YouTube, I think it's on, probably on YouTube, look up the commercial for Butt Drugs. That's hilarious. There is a drugstore called Butt Drugs. They have the parking is in the rear of Butt Drugs, and it's a very funny commercial. Butt Drugs. Let's see, plenty of us MAGA great ones left. Well, you might be good, you might be a good person, but it's not the MAGA part that makes you good. And if you're still supporting Trump, we definitely have questions. I definitely have to wonder why. Anyway. Can I please turn up the volume? Turn up the radio. I need the music. Give me control. It went all the way down to 76. This is what I hate about my computer. I'll sit there and I'll turn it up to 100. I'll make sure it's at 100. And then something about this, and it went down again. It'll just constantly change and go back down from 100. I'm like, I want you at 100. Stop being stupid. But if I lean too much into the microphone, like I don't even leaned away from the microphone that time, but it just went back to 100 again, and it went back down to 87, now to 98, 95. And I thought I changed the setting to make it so that it would no longer happen that way, but I don't know. Do I need to keep it further away from me just so I can keep it at 100? Or I don't know. It's silly. Something needs to change. Let's see. This device is currently in use. Changing any properties during use may cause audio application issues. And I have it on don't allow apps in Windows to use. No, I have that. That's fine. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with it. It's stupid. But yeah, I know you're supporting Trump. I just can't understand why at this point. There's plenty of reasons to be against him at this point. So there's plenty of reasons to reject him because he didn't make America great at all. He tried his butt. When he wanted to turn Washington upside down, the only reason he did it is because he wanted to shake it and have all the change fall loose and so he can stuff it in his pockets. He's only there for himself. He's not there for you, my friend. So, the message that it stands for here, everything's better. They do have good chicken salad. I've never been in one, so I don't know. Let's see. Do. Turkey bacon is good to eat, Suzanne. You can keep your turkey bacon. That's fine. You have all the turkey bacon you want. I'll have the regular pork, please. Yeah, 56 Nick Rich. No, no more Gibson. Yeah, Gibson is banned. He has not been on the show since I said yeet. Since I yeeted him, was a few months ago now. I think it's a few months ago now. So, I mean, there are people, I mean, I think, Cynthia, there are people who might be in a third bucket where they really think things were better. And I think they just need to watch my case against Donald Trump series, because there is a clear case against Donald Trump and there's a clear case for Joe Biden. I mean, Donald Trump was in charge of the United States when we had the terrible pandemic, and he was responsible for needless deaths. Again, when I play,
it is what it is.
It's not because he said it for any particular reason. It's not because he said it to be, you know, silly. It's because he was shrugging off the deaths that were happening because of COVID-19 4 years ago. He literally said that he was asked a question about the deaths of COVID-19, and he was like, or he said specifically,
it is what it is.
So that's part of it. It's heartless. It's a heartless stance on the death of hundreds of thousands of Americans that didn't need to die. And to be able to be okay with that, I think it's not going to get worse the next time. Yeah. Dictator on day one. No patriotic American should want a dictator on any day. Day one, day 31, day 100, whatever. If you're a patriotic American and really love this country, you should never want a dictator, period. And if you want to say he was joking, he's not joking. He said clearly he doesn't joke. He doesn't kid. He was once asked if he was joking one time, and he said, I never kid. I don't joke. I don't kid. He is not a joking, kidding person. That's not what he does. He has no sense of humor whatsoever. I hear your kids screaming in the background. Is it my... Apparently, you're hearing my kids screaming, so hold on a second. Y'all need to shut up because they can hear you and close my door. Anyway, well, I muted myself on YouTube and Twitch, but everybody on Blog Talk Radio heard me say, y'all need to shut up. There you go. And they closed the door. I'm sure, but in 5 seconds, Rose is going to come back through and open the door because I think Cassie's in the shower. And because Cassie's in the shower, Rose is going to be ignored and she's going to want to come snuggle again. So anyway. Jeff Curry, two words, bacon milkshake. I haven't tried one of those yet. So YouTube has been giving Free Speech Network a lot of issues today. That's interesting. I mean, part of it's probably YouTube, but I'm willing to say that part of it is definitely my, because now, yeah, I'm back on 87 again. I went lower again. Pain in my tush. All right, so let's actually talk about the topic of the show today, since we're almost an hour in and we actually didn't get there. So Donald Trump, or before we do that, let's do a show reset. Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right. Mondays, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central here on liberaldanradio.com, which is the YouTube link, or twitch.tv/liberaldanradio as well. And that just gets you on Twitch. You know, we're here, you know, at least an hour. Sometimes we go as much as three. Sometimes we even go beyond three, depending on what we're talking about. To make sure to support the show, make sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel. If you're on YouTube, make sure to follow. If you're on Twitch, if you have the means to do so, you can subscribe on Twitch. It's free to do it if you have Amazon Prime. On YouTube, become a liberal Danimal for as little as $2 a month. You can give super chats, super stickers, etc. Buy me a cider, liberaldan.com. Click the Buy Me a Cider button or go to buymeacoffee.com/liberaldanradio. Venmo, Liberal Dan. You can also be a Patreon or a patron, patreon.com/liberaldan. Or the patreon.liberaldan.com. Either way, we'll get you there. And you can support the show as little as $5 a month. And after doing so, you know, you get to have a say in some things that go on the show when I put the polls up. Hasn't happened too much, but and you also will get to have some early access to bits when I do create them more than five minutes before the show. Anyway, so that is the show reset. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I might switch. It's not the microphone. The microphone's a good microphone. I don't know what but it's just the fact that I don't know if it's just that my computer sucks because it's old. I mean, I think I got this computer. It's almost 4 years old now. Or it's just the fact that the computer likes to adjust the software and have maybe it's OBS. Maybe it's the OBS causing the problem. Maybe the OBS maybe it's an OBS setting I need to change. So, Suzanne, high cholesterol runs in my family. Is that cause high cholesterol usually causes people not to run in families. Anyway. So, I mean, I could always talk louder like this, but I'm afraid that would make my computer just push it. Yeah, as soon as I started talking like this, it went straight from 190, just because I raised my voice. Been on Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right, Mondays and Wednesdays. Oh, that went all the way down to 80. See, as the louder I get, the more my computer adjusts. It's bizarre. Like, I guess maybe it just wants me to do my NPR voice. It wants me to do that. Welcome to Liberal Dan Radio, Talk from the Left, That's Right. This is your host, Dan Zimmerman, coming at you from New Orleans, Louisiana. Welcome to Delicious Dish. We have either sweaty wieners or Dusty's Muffin Tops. Welcome back, Nerd Misha. Good to see you. Jolie, I think it would be awesome if Dan was doing a show with just absolute chaos in the background. I miss having kids around. I don't know. I think you would get tired of it after a while with how high-pitched both of them can get. Oh, my God. Those two kiddos get very high-pitched. That's perfect. Put it on 200. Mine goes to 200. Anyway, so two trials. We actually have an official date for Donald Trump's hush money trial. It's actually, shockingly enough, April 15th, tax day, is when the hush money trial is going to begin with jury selection. Of course, that's just jury selection, so how long that's going to take, I don't know. Barring another unforeseen hiccup, the former president will face a jury on criminal charges for at least one of his trials before the November election. The date is 3 weeks later than originally scheduled, but the delay won't make much of a dent in Trump's 2024 calendar. It's still murky whether any of his other three trials will happen before the election, according to the CNN article. So that's one. So, I mean, good that he's going to get that one trial, but I've always kind of been iffy on that trial simply because of the fact that in the hush money trial, the basis of it, if I'm remembering it correctly, we can go over it in more detail as the trial gets closer, but the basis of it is that they're using him violating a federal law to justify the bringing of a state law, even though he was never convicted of the violation of the federal law. So how is a state law going to say that a federal law has been violated when he's never been convicted of the violation of the federal law to begin with? I.e., you're arguing that the states have the authority to say that somebody violated a federal law. You're basically giving the state is using its own authority to punish somebody for violating a law that was a federal law. And if I'm not a hypocrite, which I try not to be, I try and point out that if something is a state, the federal law, the federal government should have the power over it. And if it's state law, the states have power over it. So I understand where the Trump argument might be in the jurisdiction of that certain thing. But when we get closer, we're going to look into that case in more detail. We will look into that case and we will do a deeper dive and see exactly what it says to see if I'm right or not. But that's my understand. That's my basic 300,000 foot overview. I'm not even going to say 30,000, like 300,000 foot overview look of that case. But again, it was delayed already once. Let's knock on wood it doesn't get delayed again. But again, it's justice delayed. And the longer it takes, the less likely we are to see convictions prior to the election if he is very well indeed guilty of the crimes he's being charged of. Glenn Kirschner said, if the trial starts April 15th, what's the if about? The if is about the delay tactics of every single Trump attorney and every single Trump trial. They are trying to delay, delay, delay. Trump might appeal to a different court now. Trump might, I think it was an appeals court. He could go to the appeals court and say something. He could try and go to the state Supreme Court. He could probably try and go to the federal Supreme Court. He could try and push as many legal possibilities as he can to try and make sure that this thing gets pushed back even more. And I can't begrudge anybody for having a feeling that April 15th may not be the day that jury selection starts, because there's been so many delays in all of the other cases. Why would this one be any different? Especially because it's already been delayed once, this initial time. It's bizarre. I can't keep me, let's see, that only takes the charge to a felony without the additional crime. It's only a misdemeanor. Right. But I understand that part of it. Like he whatever he did, it's a misdemeanor unless there's an additional crime. They're using the violation of the federal crime as justification to make it a felony, but he wasn't convicted of violating the federal crime. So if I'm Trump's attorney and I'm not an attorney. I've not stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Some people do say that I have a decent understanding of the law. But if I'm Trump's attorney, I'm making the argument that since this is a federal law that you're claiming I violated, but you don't have the authority to determine whether or not I violate federal law or not, because this is not the state courts are not the venue for federal law, then you can't charge me with a felony, because there's no federal charges convicting me of that yet or at all. That would be my point that I would make as the attorney. Not saying that I agree with, you know, sure, he probably did violate the federal law, in my opinion. I'm sure in the opinions of the government, I'm sure the reason that the New York attorneys are saying, hey, this is why we're bringing these charges, is because they believe he violated it too. But do they have the authority to do that? And that's always what I've been wondering about this case, is that someday it might come down and say, well, they don't have the authority to make any sort of ruling on whether or not he violated federal law, because that's something that's under federal jurisdiction and not state jurisdiction. States can only make findings about violating if you violated state laws. Now, if the federal government did convict him of a federal crime, then you could say, oh, well, then you violated, you have violated this, you have a triggering part of the legal mechanism that turns this from a misdemeanor to a felony. Fine, but it hasn't happened yet. So you'll understand why I'm not holding my breath about this case. I hope I'm wrong, but I hope that was wrong about judge being able to name three Supreme Court justices. I hope that was wrong about a whole mess of other things too. I've turned out to be right about a whole mess of those other things. Let's hope that I'm wrong about this one. We're all going to hope and pray that I'm incorrect. But the other thing, more specifically, that's I think even more egregious, is the fact that Trump had his bond reduced from $464 million to $175 million. And he also has more time to come up with the money. Hasn't he had plenty of time to come up with the money? He should have been considered to have come up with, had plenty of time to come up with his money, especially now that it's only $175 million and not $464. And immediately when this was announced, my whole thing was, they're coddling him too much. They're absolutely coddling him too much on these issues. Why? Because not because he's a fragile little man baby. I mean, he is a fragile little man baby, but there are many fragile little man babies out there that don't get coddled. I think the reason that they're trying to not just dot every I and cross every T, but they're like putting lots of dots on all the I's and putting lots of crosses on every T because they want to make sure that it's well dotted and well crossed. And they're being too paranoid about it. At some point you gotta move forward. At some point you gotta make sure that justice gets served. Because Donald Trump is now getting more allowances than any other person would have. And why? Because he's the former president and he's running for president again. And none of these courts want to be seen by the public as doing something political. They don't want to be seen as having this to have anything to do with who he was as president or who he will be as president. They want it to only be about the facts of this. And it can be. But you don't have to wait this long for it to can be. But I think they're so gun-shy about what the people might say that they're willing to just delay more than Tom ever delayed to make sure that they've covered their ass like 17 different times. When you probably only needed to cover your butt like 2 to 3 different times. I think somebody asked me a question. Hold on. Let me scroll it up. No, I think it's further back down. Where is it? Somebody said something. Liberal Dan, that's why 47 President Trump has survived Daily News is a billionaire. That's what expensive lawyers are for. Yeah, but he doesn't pay his lawyers. That's why so many of his lawyers have jumped ship, because he doesn't pay people what he owes them. That's part of how he's gotten rich, or how he's maintained his money, is by manipulating the system to make sure he doesn't have to pay people. Like, it's part of his problem. It's part of why a lot of people have a big problem, because he doesn't want to pay debts. He doesn't want to pay the debt to E. Jean Carroll. He doesn't want to pay the debt that he now owes to the state of New York. He doesn't want to pay the debts to his attorneys. He doesn't want to pay the. I think he's shorted Rudy Giuliani at this point. I think he owes Rudy Giuliani legal funds back from when Rudy Giuliani could still practice law. Some of those I don't think have been paid. So many things, people that Donald Trump has failed to pay in the past, and he gets away with it. Ridiculous. Let's see. Rosebud asks, "How, if the trial hasn't even begun, how can he appeal it?" He can appeal rulings. He can challenge rulings. He can challenge venue. He can challenge whether or not people have the ability to even bring the case in the first place. And he's probably holding a couple in his back pocket, or his attorneys are holding some in his back pocket, just so they go, okay, well, here's another chance of delay. Here's another appeal to make another delay yet again. Delay, 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 delay. So, Nick Rich, he claimed he had $500 million 2 days ago. Yes, he did. Oh, that's late. Nick Rich said he claimed he had $400 million in cash months ago. He claimed he had $500 million 2 days ago. Yeah, he claims a lot of things. He makes a lot of claims. And a lot of them are lies. Daily News, what does Biden have to do with it? This is one of the problems with conservative conversations. It's that we're talking about Trump and Trump's legal issues and Trump's legal woes, and you're talking about Biden with, I'm assuming, the double masks on his face because he was being a responsible person during the pandemic, maybe? You know... You want to be, you know, maybe you don't trust the pandemic, but, you know, Biden did trust the experts and he listened to what the experts told him. See, Donna, I went to two KISS concerts in the late 70s. It was fabulous. I went to a KISS concert. It was free. It was outside in New Orleans 1 year. I think one of the times like when the NCAA tournaments came to town or whatever. Yeah, Rosebud, he brags about paying 10 cents on the dollar. Yeah, he brags about manipulating the system and using the system and getting out of paying his debts. And the supporters would be like, yeah, he's smart. He doesn't pay people what he owes them because he's a smart businessman. And then students want to be able to get debt relief on their student loans that's included in the promissory notes. And the Trump supporters are like, pay your debts. Well, you're hypocrites then, because you're not demanding Trump pays his debts, yet you demand student loan borrowers pay their debts. Makes no sense. January 6th is fact proof enough. Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump stood by on January 6th and did nothing as violence occurred on the Capitol. That is a fact. I'm sorry, he threw ketchup against the wall, according to reports. There is a chunk of time where the leader of the free world in Washington, D.C., could have done something to stop his supporters from attacking the Capitol, and yet he did nothing. That is aiding and abetting enemies of this country. Ashley Babbitt, i.e. terrorist Barbie, was an enemy of this country until she got shot by a hero. Delight loves movies. Who wears more makeup, Donald or Melania? It's probably me. All of the orange makeup, that covers my face. It's probably me. I'm the one that wears more makeup. And when I wake up, I put on more makeup. Together, forever, you'll stay in my heart. Let's see. He also tells NATO countries, you got to pay your bills. Exactly. He'll say that Russia should go attack a NATO country for not paying their bill, yet he won't pay his bills. And when he does it, again, he's a smart business person. They love the fact that, because see, that they, the people who support that sort of BS are people who are like, well, one day I might be rich too. So I want to be able to get away with all the stuff that Donald's getting away with. Yeah, Rosebud. Ashley effed around and found out. Yes, she did. Well, there was a song that somebody had made or whatever, and I came up with a parody. It was Blinded by the Light or whatever, but I did Blinded because they're white. Or so that was somebody else's initial idea. It was like, blinded because they're white. A bunch of traitor douchebags protesting in the night. Blinded because they're white. And then I came up as like, and Proud Boy Jacob with his bearskin cap and makeup plotted a terrorist attack. And terrorist Barbie, jumped through a window in the lobby and ended up flat on her back. That was my parody. I just remembered it. So it was a very short version of the parody, but whenever anybody challenges me to make a parody, I'm like, oh, I got to make the parody. That's why I have several on my channel. Like they're coming up in my memories recently. I did one for Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young. That's on the channel. It's Stain or You'll Die Young. Stain or You'll Die Young. Stain or You'll Die Young. You got a nice white gown and a gurney for your... Was it for your hospitalization? You didn't call on me when you were sitting in your quarantine. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That was part of that song. But there's a whole bunch of other bunch of lyrics. Some say the reaction was quite overblown. But they don't care about the facts they were shown. They'd rather head go to the beach than stay home alone. But living is much more fun. I'm saying, stay in or you'll die young. That's what I said. Stay in or you'll die. I'm trying to remember this all from memory. So I'm kind of remembering it off the top of my head. Let's see if I can pull up my Google Keep or whatever and see if I could do an acapella version, since I can't do the singles with it or whatever. Let's see. Stay in. No, that's not the search button. Stay in. It's searching. If I don't have it here, I have it on Facebook. I know that. But I also have the actual videos. Where are my parody videos? Where are the parody videos? Because this is like, you know, the starting, the 4 years of, you know, it really getting into the bad stuff when it comes to that. And when I was doing, or Stay Home or You'll Die Young is the parody. Let's see, do I not have it here? Trying to search my notes. Oops, something went wrong. Reload the page. Of course, because Google Keep sucks, or my browser sucks, or my computer sucks, or one of the two. So Daily News, the lies. What lies do you think they say about President Trump, Daily News? This should be funny. Let's see. Oh, here's the whole Blinded by the Light parody that I made. The Suncovidia Karen called the manager wearing no mask. I pointed out a mistake. She said to mind my own business, leave her alone. She thinks that the pandemic is fake. And Proud Boy Jacob wore a bearskin hat and makeup to lead a terrorist attack. And little terrorist Barbie tried to break into the lobby and ended up flat on her back. That's parody. Let's see, what else do I have? I was working on a Billy Joel, not a Billy Joel, on a Beatles parody back then. I saw her standing there. Hey, Rose, I'm sorry to have to see you go. I mean, you could always block the trolls. You don't have to actually listen to the trolls. You can always block them and stay in and not have to hear what the trolls have to say. So, I was trying to come up with one I saw her standing there. I was like, well, it was COVID-19, had me quarantined. I was stuck at home. I couldn't go nowhere. I couldn't get any closer. Woo! When I saw her standing there. Well, she coughed on me and I started to freak. And that's pretty much where I stopped with that parody. John Depp, I can't see Daily Snooze. Nice. Let's see. I did a Deo version where it was stay home. Stay home, stay home. COVID come and you gotta go home. Stay. Me say stay, me say stay, me say stay, me say stay, me say stay home. COVID come and you gotta go home. Work from home while I drink some rum. COVID come and you gotta go home. Hoard Purell till the cure comes. COVID come and we gotta go home. Come, Mr. Costco man, stock me up some TP. Anyway, so. Oh yeah, I forgot that I could do that. Got a wrench in Midas Touch. I just removed them. So far I'm batting 1,000 with no facts. Really? Doesn't pay his lawyers. Let's see. Trump owes Giuliani. Bloomberg News. Giuliani says Donald Trump owes him $2 million in legal fees. There's a link for that. Let's see. Where's the next one? Trump doesn't pay attorneys. A lot of these are hard to find simply because of the fact that all of these search results are getting muddled in with the Trump's bod now is hundreds because it's Donald Trump and legal fees and whatever. So let's see. Trump attorneys sue him. Trump's long history of getting sued by his own lawyers. Here's an article that'll help me out here. Come on. For some reason, my page does not want to load. Let's see. In 2012, Levine Stoller won a settlement that returned $35 million in overpaid taxes and cut $15 million from the company's future liabilities, leading to a total savings of $50 million from the Trump Corporation. Trump agreed to pay $7.25 million to the law firm in legal fees. but only paid Levine $6 million before trying to claim the rest as unsecured debt in unsecured bankruptcy proceedings. In response, Levine Stoller sued his former client, Trump Entertainment. In 2014, a judge rejected Trump's entertainment request to be absolved of his debt, and he told the company to pay up. So in 2012, well, between 2012 and 2014, Donald Trump had to be told by a court to pay attorney Levine Stoller to pay his debts to an attorney. It wasn't an isolated case. Trump underpaid at least four law firms or lawyers who worked for him, according to various news outlets. Let's see, they are hyperlinked, so let's open all of them. They looked into Trump's history of cheating his contractors. One of them, Morris & Cohen LLP of New York City, had represented Trump in a lawsuit against a construction contractor that Trump claimed had overcharged him for work on a golf course. According to USA Today, Trump sued Morris & Cohen for using the case to help promote his work. The firm countersued for almost $500,000 in unpaid bills. The case was settled in 2009, i.e. Trump had to settle the case because he was sued because he owed an attorney $500,000 in unpaid legal bills. Trump tried to get out of paying Bill Scheer, a lawyer in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He had to sue Trump in 1994 to collect $5,000 in unpaid legal bills from a case that Scheer run for the billionaire. Lawyer told Reuters last year that he had offered Trump a low rate to curry favor with the mogul, but still had to sue. He's a deadbeat, Scheer told the South Florida Sun Sentinel paper. Trump told Reuters that he couldn't remember Scheer or the case at all. Let's see, let's look at these other cases. Edward Field landed a $400,000 contract to build the bases for the slot machines, registration desks, and bars and other cabinets at Harrah's at Trump's Plaza Casino. The family cabinetry business, founded in the 1940s by Edward's father, finished its work in 1984, submitted its final bill to the general contractor for the Trump Organization, the resort's builder. Edward's sons, Paul, who was the firm's accountant, still remembers the amount that bill more than 30 years later, $83,600. The reason, the money never came. That became the demise of the Edward J. Friel Company, which has been around since my grandfather. Donald Trump often portrays himself the savior of the working class who will protect your job. But a USA Today Network analysis found that that has been involved in more than 3,500 lawsuits over the past two decades, and a large number of those involve ordinary Americans like the Friels who say Trump or his companies have refused to pay them. At least 60 lawsuits, along with hundreds of liens, judgments, and other government filings reviewed by the network, document people who have refused Trump and his businesses of failing to pay them for their work. Among them, a dishwasher in Florida, a glass company in New Jersey, a carpet company, a plumber, painters, 48 waiters, dozens of bartenders and other hourly workers at his resorts, clubs, coast to coast, real estate brokers who sold properties, and ironically, several law firms that once represented him in these suits and others. Trump's companies have also been cited for 24 violations of the Fair Labor Standards Act since 2005 for failing to pay overtime or minimum wage, according to the U.S. Department of Labor data, which is an interesting point, because here's the thing. If I steal from my employer, if I work for an employer and I take $100 out of wherever and I take that money, I'm a criminal now and I can be brought up on charges. But if a employer doesn't pay me what I'm owed, it's not considered a criminal violation. It's only considered a civil violation. That's just something to remember. According to U.S. Department of Labor data, let's see, blah, 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 we already finished that. In addition to the lawsuits, review found more than 200 mechanics liens filed by contractors and employees against Trump, his companies, or his properties, claiming they were owed money for their work since the 80s. The liens range from a $75,000 claim by Plainview New York Air Conditioning and Heating Company to a $1 million claim from the president of a New York City real estate banking firm on just one project, Trump's Taj Mahal Casino in Atlantic City. Records released by New Jersey Casino Control Commission in released by New York Casino's Control Commission, so that at least 253 subcontractors weren't paid in full or on time, including workers who sold walls, chandeliers, or plumbing. Let's say they did do a job, it's not good, or that they didn't finish their job, was way late, I'll deduct from their contract, absolutely. That's what the country should be doing. That's his excuse for not paying, is that if something happens that's, you know, maybe out of their control that he doesn't like, he'll just not pay them. Instead of, like, you know, talking to them, he just won't pay them. So he admits to it. He admits, this is a quote from Donald Trump. Let's say he does a job that's not good. If he doesn't like the job that's done, he'll just not pay. The action is a total paint portrait of Trump's sprawling organization, frequently failing to pay small businesses and individuals, then sometimes tying them up in court and other negotiations for years. And this is what he'll do. So he'll do business with a small subcontractor or whatever, He'll do business with a small person. And then when it comes time to get them to pay the final bill, he'd be like, I don't feel like paying the final bill. I'm not going to do it. And why? And then when he does that, he'll be like, so sue me. And so they either have to incur costs to sue the Trump organization, which is going to cost them a whole bunch more money than they're probably waiting for, or they have to accept some sort of settlement if he even settles at all. That is how a scumbag operates. How anybody could support that is beyond me. That is how a scumbag operates. Scumbag Donald Trump right there. Trump and his daughter Ivanka, in an interview to USA Today, shrugged off the lawsuits. Trump and his companies have prevailed in many legal disputes over missing payments or reached settlements that cloud the terms reached by the parties. However, the constant circumstances laid out by those lawsuits and other non-payment claims raise questions about Trump's judgment as a businessman and as a potential commander-in-chief. This is way back in 2016. The number of companies and others alleging he hasn't paid suggests that either his companies have a poor track record of hiring workers and assessing contractors, so he doesn't hire the best people, or that Trump businesses renege on contracts, refuse to pay, or consistently attempt to change payment terms after work is complete, as is alleged in dozens of court cases. In the interview, Trump repeatedly said that the cases were a long time ago. Why should that matter? However, even as he campaigns for presidency, new cases are continuing. Just last month, Trump Miami Resort Management LLC settled with 48 servers at his Miami Golf Resort over failing to pay overtime at a special event. The settlements averaged about $800 for each worker, as high as $3,000 for one, according to court records. Some workers put in 20 day hours over the 10-day passover event at Trump National Doral Miami. The lawsuit contends Trump's team initially argued the contractor hired the workers and he wasn't responsible and countersued the contractor demanding payment. Trump could have settled it right off the bat, but they wanted to fight it out. That's their MO. The lawyer who represented the workers, who said they are forbidden from talking about the case in public. They are known for their aggressiveness, and if you have the money, why not? Similar cases have cropped up with Trump's facilities in California and New York, where hourly workers, bartenders, and waitstaff have sued with a range of allegations from not letting workers take breaks to not passing along tips. Trump's company settled the California case, and the New York case is pending. Trump's Doral Golf Resort has also been embroiled in recent non-payment claims by two different paint firms, with one case settled and the other pending. Last month, his company's refusal to pay one Florida painter more than $30,000 for work at Doral led the judge in the case to order foreclosure of the resort if the contractor isn't paid. Juan Carlos Enriquez, the owner of the paint spot in South Florida, has been waiting more than 2 years to get paid for his work at Doral. The paint spot first filed a lien against the Trump courts, then filed a lawsuit asking the judge to intervene. In courtroom testimony, the manager of the contractor for the general contractor of the Doral renovation admitted that a decision was made to not pay them because Trump, quote, has already paid enough. As the construction manager spoke, Trump's trial attorney is visibly winced, began breathing heavily, and attempted to make eye contact with the witness. The judge noted in his ruling that and other evidence convinced the judge that the paint spot's claim was credible. He ordered last month that the Doral Resort be foreclosed on, sold, and the proceeds used to pay Enriquez the money he was owed. Trump's attorneys have since filed a motion to delay the sale, and the contest continues. Enriquez still hasn't been paid. Trump frequently boasts that he will bring back jobs to America, including Tuesday in the primary election victory speech. No matter who you are, you're going to protect your job, because let me tell you, our jobs are being stripped from our country like we are babies. But the lawsuits show Trump's organization's wages, Goliath versus David, legal battles over small amounts of money that are negligible to the billionaire and his executives, but devastating to his much smaller foes. In 2007, a dishwasher, Guy Dorsonville, filed a federal lawsuit against Trump's Mar-a-Lago Club Resort, alleging the club failed to pay him time and a half for overtime he worked over 3 years, and the company failed to keep proper time records for employees. Mar-a-Lago LLC agreed to pay him $7,500 to settle the case. The terms of the settlement agreement include a standard statement that Mar-a-Lago does not admit fault and forbids Dorstenville or his lawyers from talking about the case according to court records. Developers with histories of not paying contractors are a very small minority of the industry, but late or missing payments can be devastating for small businesses and their employees. Real estate is a tough enough and aggressive business, but most people don't set out to blah, 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 blah. In the interview, Trump said that complaints represent a tiny fraction of his business empire and dealings with contractors and employees, insisting that all are paid fairly. We pay everyone what they're supposed to be paid, and we pay everyone on time, he said, and we employ thousands and thousands of people. Despite Trump's assertion that their companies only refuse payment to contractors when somebody does a bad job, he has sometime offered to hire those same contractors again. It's a puzzling turn of events, since it's most people who have a poor experience with a contractor and who refuse to pay and even fight the contractor aren't likely to rehire them. I mean, if you're those contractors and you accept another job with him again, I mean, you're a freaking idiot, but still. Nevertheless, such was the case for the Friels. After submitting the final bill for the Plaza Casino Cabinet building in 1984, Paul Friel said he got a call asking that his father, Edward, come to the Trump's family offices at the casino for a meeting. There, Edward and some other contractors were called him one by one to meet with Donald Trump and his brother. He sat in a room with nine guys. We found some of them were carpet guys, some of them were glass guys, plumbers, you name it. In the meeting, Donald Trump told his father that the company work was inferior. Friel said that even though the general contractor on the casino had approved it, the bottom line, Trump told Edward Friel that the company wouldn't get the final payment. Then Friel said Trump added something that struck the family as bizarre. Trump told his dad that he could work on other Trump projects in the future. Wait a minute, Paul Friel said, recalling his family's reaction to his dad account of the meeting. Why would the Trump family want a company who say their work is inferior to work for them in the future? Because Trump believes that he only wants to hire suckers who are willing to accept the fact that he's not going to pay them the entirety of what they're owed. So a lot of people who actually are attorneys for Trump at this point ask for the money up front from Donald Trump, because otherwise they're never going to get paid. So they need to ask for the money up front or else they won't get paid. Daily News says, not from Wikipedia. I have not once looked at Wikipedia. Sorry, bruh. Have not once looked at Wikipedia this entire time. Pilferage of anything is potentially criminal. Paperclips. Yes. If you pilfer paperclips, if you steal office supplies, you could technically be charged with a crime. Yet, if an employer doesn't pay you your proper wages, they're not considered to have stolen your wages. They're considered to have, like, I guess, owe you a civil, it's a civil thing, not a criminal thing. Maybe if we made the theft of wages a criminal thing, it might have more teeth, but unfortunately it's not. See, Rosebud, can't hear you. Is anybody else having problems not being able to hear me? It did drop to 70 instead of 100, so I don't know. That's why it doesn't make sense they lowered the bond. He's not good for the money. Yeah, he's not good for the money at all. He's not good for any, because he's never going to pay. Unless he's forced to pay it, he won't pay it. Because he doesn't have integrity. He will get out of paying whatever he doesn't want to pay. He's always going to fight paying whatever he wants, whatever he's forced to pay, whatever he's required to pay. He will fight until the court literally seizes his assets, seizes his property, seizes his cash on hand. And now they just gave him, what, 10 more days or whatever for it to happen? I can't put it on 200, Rosebud. 100 is the max. It doesn't go past 100. I can't do that. Let's see. What are we at? Mike Ox 2. Let's see. I can up it a couple decibels. Maybe that'll help if I up it more decibels. Yeah, he still owes cities for Trump. Trump owes cities money for security. Yeah, I'm a billionaire. I need your money. Center for Public Integrity, why the Trump campaign won't pay police bills. I'm sure Daily News, you're a Blue Lives Matter guy, right? Even though there's no such thing as a blue life. 10 city governments from Arizona to Pennsylvania say the presidential political committee has stiffed them out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. Oh, do we love law enforcement or what? President Trump asked, cheering a crowd during Make America Great Again political rally October 12th in Lebanon, Ohio. Thank you, law enforcement, the president later told officers, who he calls heroes. But when Lebanon City Hall sent Trump campaign a $16,191 invoice for police and other public safety costs associated with the event, Trump didn't respond. Trump's campaign likely ignored Lebanon's officials' follow-up reminders to cover the sum, one rich enough to fund the entire police force for nearly 2 days in a modest city of 21,000 between Dayton and Cincinnati. The bill remains unpaid. There's a lot of benefit when a president comes here, economic benefits, more visibility for our community, Lebanon Mayor Amy Brewer said, but I would hope and believe that the Trump campaign would pay its bills. It's our taxpayer dollars. You're a fool. To quote the Gilbert Gottfried from that one episode of that one really long episode of Hollywood Squares, you fool. The red ink Trump poured on Lebanon's thin blue line is no anomaly. At least nine other city governments from Mesa, Arizona to Erie, Pennsylvania are still waiting for Trump to pay public safety-related invoices they've sent his presidential campaign committee in connection with his political rallies, according to interviews with local officials and municipal records obtained by the Center for Public Integrity. Some invoices are 3 years old, and all city governments say Trump's campaign owes them at least $841,219. Must Trump pay? Depends how you ask. The cities are adamant that Trump should pay up. Many of these cases are no signed contracts, blah, blah, blah. The city's dispatched police officers, blah, blah, blah. Reach for comment. Trump's campaign director of operations, Sean Dolman, referred to questions to the campaign's communication staff, which did not respond to numerous requests. The Fraternal Order of Police, which endorsed Trump in 2016, has no formal position on whether presidential campaigns should pay municipalities' bills for police protection, said Chuck Canterbury, the organization's president. That's the government's responsibility in each case. But presidential candidates should consider paying cities' police bills if they don't believe they're legally required to do so, other police advocates said. The fiscal impact on local governments, especially during campaign season in critical vote states or communities, can be significant. When one considers how much money campaigns raise and spend, it does not seem unreasonable to expect some degree of reimbursement for such demands for service. A character integrity issue, five municipal public safety bills from Green Bay and Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Tucson, Arizona, Burlington, Vermont, and Spokane, Washington, date back to 2016 before Trump became president. It is our hope that Trump's campaign will do right by the taxpayers of Mesa and provide payments. Others aren't so bullish. Let's be honest. When does Trump ever pay his bills? Spokane City Council member Kate Burke said, an allusion to Trump's many unresolved deals and disputes from his decades in business. The largest single invoice, $470 and $470,417, easy for me to say, is also the most recent from El Paso, where officials have publicly pilloried the Trump campaign for not covering costs associated with the February 11th a campaign rally near the Mexican border. Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke conducted a much smaller campaign and paid his $21,021 police bill on time. I'm hopeful they'll pay. I'm hopeful to do what's right. People don't pay their bills. That's a character and integrity issue, says El Paso Mayor D. Margo. But municipal policies vary. Many of the 60 cities Trump visited have policies against billing any politician for police costs. Several more cities calculated the cost of providing public safety for Trump rallies, but they said they chose not to bill the Trump campaign. El Paso, $470,000, Tucson, $81,000, Spokane, $65,000, Mesa, $64,000, Eau Claire, $47,000, Billings, $42,000, Erie, $35,000, Lebanon, $16,000, Lebanon, Ohio, Green Bay, Wisconsin, $9,000, Burlington, Vermont, $8,000. Trump's July 2017 rally in Youngstown, Ohio, for example, involved paying 48 police officers, more than $11,000 in overtime, although Youngstown officials didn't invoice Trump. Local governments do have financial leverage when presidential candidates want to stage a rally, but not a private venue, but a government-owned facility such as Municipal Convention Center or City Park. Several have required the Trump campaign to sign a contract or similar agreement to pay various expenses and fees at their facilities, including police protection. In Nashville, for example, the Trump campaign agreed to pay $49 per hour for each uniformed police officer patrolling Nashville's Municipal Auditorium during a rally in March 2017, and $50 per hour for a rally. The Trump campaign has honored these cities, these contracts, although in at least one case, not in a timely fashion, and in another case, not in full. the Gallatin Airport Authority of Montana, which administers the Bozeman-Yellowstone International Airport, where Trump campaign rallied on November 3rd, 2018, sent the Trump campaign a $17,355 invoice for labor, construction, and rental costs. Trump paid 3 months after its due date on April 1st, 2019, according to a canceled Trump campaign check. In 2016, then-Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski signed a contract for a rally with the city-owned Tucson Convention Center, but Trump's campaign has yet to pay for the public safety costs that is still in dispute. And here's that link. Now, here's one thing I would say about Herr Trump or doing business with Herr Trump. If you are in a city and you want Donald Trump to pay for something, the first thing you should do is make him sign an MFing contract so it could be enforceable. Don't just hope that Trump's going to do the right thing, because Donald Trump is never going to do the right thing. He will never, ever, 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 ever do the right thing, ever. Doing the right thing is not in his DNA. It is not in his biological makeup. There is nothing that he will do that is ever considered right. Or if he happens to do something that is the right thing, it is purely by mistake. Like he stumbled onto it and he got damn lucky. Daily News asks, would it be easier to hate President Trump if he was a global banker? Do you understand that global banking conspiracy ideas are typically what leads one down the path to anti-Semitic theories? Please don't go the global banker route. I'm sure it'd be easy for many of Trump's supporters to hate him if he instead was a global banker, because they don't like global bankers, because they don't like whenever they say globalists or Soros or whatever, that's code for Jew. And they don't like Jews. They pretend to like Israel, but they don't like Jews. Anyway, real quick before we move on, I did want to share the link to my parodies if you want to watch the parodies that I have. Those are all my parodies, and the first one listed is The Stain or You'll Die Young. And then there's Always a Racist to Me, which is not COVID-related, but it's one that I had in my head for a very long time, and I finally was able to record it during COVID-19. Let's see. Agolf Twiddler, the real question. Hey, Agolf Twiddler, good to see you, first of all. And I don't think I actually said hey to Benny, so hey, Benny, good to see you as well. The real question, after Trump loses again, will Republicans come to their senses? You should start a career. You should start a career in stand-up comedy there. Nick Rich, Dan needs a rant where he doesn't mention Trump. I have plenty of rants where I don't mention Trump. I'm fairly certain I could show you plenty of rants where I haven't mentioned Trump. We could look that up real quick in a little bit, but let's see. Let's look this up. There it is. So yeah, so the lyrics, the tune of the song for the could apply to Donnie or anybody else who is a racist. Benny Loco, I'm here for the dabs, Dan. Okay, here you go. Here's a dab. My wife looked up Mar-a-Lago on some Florida tax site. The total market value was $37 million, a little short of $1.5 billion. I mean, what do you know? Oh, tonight you meant? Oh, I mean, sometimes many of my rants are planned. At least, you know, sometimes they're when I plan a rant, it's usually planned. Sometimes I'll do a rant off the top of my head, but it's not always happening that way. So, Rosebud, I call him Stinky Shitler or Donald Von Shits His Pants. That is a good name, yeah. I think that's a very good name for Herr Donald. Daily News. It's been over 10 minutes without those four without five words. You didn't include an it. I sometimes go a whole show without saying it is what it is or having Donald say it, but no one can stop what's coming. That's why Donald uses depends. Hilarious. They walked up to Donald Trump one day. Hey, Donald, do you wear boxes or briefs? And Donald says, depends. But yeah. Say, so this is, these are the lyrics to the song. He'll deny his white privilege, then yell at a cop. He will dress in blackface, even if you say stop. He will hang up an Obama in effigy. He says he's all right, but he's always a racist to me. He moved out of the suburbs because of white flight. He'll insist that Santa Claus and Jesus are white. He's a founding member of the Tea Party. He claims to have black friends, but he's always a racist to me. Oh, only thinks of himself, wants to drain the swamp. He is behind the times. Oh, and he hates all handouts, and he never gives in, never changes his mind. He believes in the myth of the Garden of Eden, and he mourns the attacks in Atlanta and Sweden. And don't you forget about Bowling Green. He complains of fake news, and he's always a racist to me. Then there's the whole thing again where I can't go too high because it's too late. And then I go back to, Strom Thurmond's a favorite historical figure. He'll say it's unfair that he cannot say that word. He'll always fight for white supremacy. He hates all the Jews and all the Muslims too. So he's always a racist to me. Anyway, that's that song. If you want to hear the whole thing, it's in that link that I shared earlier. So, Wet Wipes Walter has a crap job. Hilarious. I've replaced the word hate with loathe. It's a satisfying but not hate. Yeah, loathe is a very good word. I was actually about to say abhor is a good one too, and then I read John Death's word. Abhor is good too. So we're right there on each other. But I really, my favorite part of that song, I think, is my Strom Thurmond's a favorite historical figure. He'll say it's unfair that he cannot say that word because I wanted people to think that I was about to drop the N-bomb and then just change it around on them and be like, nope, I'm not saying the word. But that's what he'll say. He'll complain it's not fair that he can't say that word neither because, you know, that's how they be. And
it is what it is.
There you go, Daily News. One for you. Hey, Janelle Walker, good to see you. But yeah, so back to the point at hand, back to the topic at hand, as Snoop might say. We have the situation though where justice delayed is justice denied, and a lot of times they use that for other purposes. But I'm going to say it with the Trump thing, where we're giving Trump too much. There's no reason to have given Trump any more time. There's no reason that Donald Trump needed any more time to come up with this money. He knew this was coming. It's like telling somebody like, oh, your taxes are due April 15th. And then having somebody on April 14th be like, well, I didn't work on my taxes yet, so I need an extension. That's the only reason I need an extension. Well, guess what? You still owe your taxes. Maybe you should have been working on preparing your taxes and, you know, on that contingency and maybe make sure that you have it done. Like if something is due, keep working on it to make sure it's due so you can turn in whatever it is you need to turn in. Even if you don't think you can be able to get it done, keep working on it. Don't, like, completely ignore it. But that's because Donald Trump is not a responsible person. He is not a serious person. He is somebody who is going to try and get out of every single possible thing that he could possibly, every single thing he could possibly get out of paying. Because he has no integrity. And I'm not talking about things where he signed where there is a clause in the contract that says, these are the reasons why you can avoid payment. These are how you avoid payment. Because there are contracts that have like exit clause or ways you avoid payment or ways to get out of paying the money or where that people agree on those issues. But guess what? Those aren't in that. Donald Trump just chooses not to pay because he doesn't want to pay. He feels that he's entitled to not pay. Man, that's not integrity. You would think that that would be the first thing that anybody wants in the office of the presidency, would be a modicum of integrity. He has none. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Nada. Nothing. Benny, who owes bucks, bucks? Don owes bucks, bucks. If you give Donnie your bucks, good luck, good luck. Good. That's hilarious. Yeah, and that's the other thing that we could talk about. I don't know if I'm ready to talk about Ronan McDaniel on NBC yet. Like, I want to do a little bit more research into the whole Ronan McDaniel thing. Although, surprisingly enough, with the whole Ronan McDaniel thing, Chuck Todd, like, goes off on, like, it's amazing to see all of these media folks going off on their own employer, like, smacking around NBC, like, and Peacock or whatever, like, what the hell are you doing hiring this dumb a-hole? It's crazy. Rachel Maddow just charged her with being a willful accomplice to the insurrection. I mean, she was. And yeah, Ronan McDaniel is supposed to only be on NBC, not going to be on MSNBC. So I guess she'll probably be on, what, Meet the Press or something? Like, they'll bring her on as on Meet the Press or they'll interview her for, like, some of the other NBC shows or something. But, like... And Chuck Todd made a point of, like, there's an argument to be had over, do you want to pay people who you disagree with simply because by bringing them aboard, you get access to other things, other information. And there's a reasonable point to make in general, but not to bring, but specifically for her, who carried Trump's water for all this time. Only reason she's probably now willing to go on at NBC and anywhere else and talk about this crap is simply because, you know, the only reason she's going on these is she wants to now get back at Trump, probably because she's mad that Trump ousted her and replaced her with his sycophants, including his daughter-in-law. It's probably just about revenge for her at this point. Because she lost her job because of Cheeto Mussolini. Thank you for liking my parody songs, Daily News. Appreciate it. Steven Sayers, why did they lower Trump's bail? It's not his bail. It's his bond. And I don't... So the bond is basically, while he appeals... So basically, Trump has options. He can pay the entire money and not appeal, or he can appeal the ruling. But if he appeals the ruling, he has to put up a bond to be able to secure that, okay, well, to show that there's a willingness to be able to, you know, pay it eventually once it happens. If he's able to, You know, if the appeal loses, he needs to be able to put up money so that the state can come after that. So you basically, you can't, there needs to be some sort of insurance there to not allow Trump to just, you know, flee the country and not have any money go to the state or whatever. But why did they lower it? I mean, there's probably the official reason why. The ruling staves off the prospect that New York City attorney Letitia James can seek the property to ensure that whatever. Trump had been struggling to come up with the means to post a bond of more than $500 million. Trump said on Truth Social that he would abide by the decision to post either a bond, equivalent securities, or cash to meet the terms of the judgment. His attorney says last week he was struggling to come up with a bond to cover the full amount, noting that banks would not approve a bond of more than $100 million. The ruling stated that a $175 million bond will be in place at least until September, meaning that James won't be able to seek to enforce the judgment against Trump until then. The order stated the enforcement of several penalties Engoron had handed down in addition to the fine, including that Trump and his sons can still run a business in New York and obtain loans from New York financial institutions for now. The order had blocked those penalties in the judgment, but also stated that the court-ordered monitor and the appointment of a compliance director will remain in place. So Donald Trump can still run businesses, apparently, now, too, as well. Trump only has to come up with a lesser bond and not the whole ass thing. And then the Letitia James won't be able to come until September. As to why the decision was made, I mean, unless the actual ruling, unless you can find the text of the ruling, let's see. The articles just linked back and forth to each other. Let's see. Trump appeals court ruling text. Rona said in an interview that she had to say hostages because she worked for the RNC. Now she thinks the violent protesters should be in prison. If she didn't just work for the RNC, though, she ran the RNC. She's setting the example. But if she didn't call them hostages, she would have said, you know, they would have kicked her out earlier. So she herself was a hostage, I guess, maybe, to Trump and his sycophants. Let's see. Here we go. Here's the ruling. Of course, behind a paywall. Or is it behind a paywall? Nope. It's not behind a paywall. It's just a piece of paper. It's just like two pages, and then we can read it without the paywall. So here we go. Appeals haven't been taken to this court in an order from the Supreme Court in New York County entered February 16, 2024, and from a judgment in the same court. The defendants' appellants moving forward pursuant to whatever to stay enforcement of aforesaid order and ensuing judgment pending hearing and determination of the appeals taken therefrom. Now, upon reading and filing the papers with respect to the motion and due deliberation having been had thereon, legalese is such BS sometimes, it is ordered that the motion is granted for the extent of staying enforcement of these portions of the judgment. One, ordering disgorgement to the Attorney General of $464,576,230.62, conditioned on defendants' appellants posting within 10 days of this order an undertaking in the amount of $135 million to permanently barring the defendants Whistleberg and McConney from serving in the financial control of New York Corporation civil business entity. Three, barring defendants Trump, Whistleberg, and McConney from serving as an officer director of any New York Corporation for 3 years. Four, barring Trump and the corporate defendants from applying for loans. Five, barring defendants Trump Jr. and Eric Trump from serving as an officer director for 2 years. The aforesaid stay is conditioned on the defendants' appellants perfecting the appeals for the September 2024 term of this court. The motion is otherwise denied, including the extent it seeks to stay the enforcement of the portions of the judgment. So it doesn't really say why it made the ruling. It just made the ruling. So there you go. Let's see. Who is the judge? Diane T. Renwick. Let's see. Who appointed Diane T. Renwick? Unless it's an election. Governor Hochul appoints Diane T. Renwick as presiding justice of the New York State Supreme Court Appellate Division First Department. So the current Democratic governor appointed Justice Renwick, who is the first woman of color to be the presiding justice of the First Department. New Yorkers deserve a thoughtful, attentive, and independent leader of the first government. So I can't necessarily say that it's somebody who was appointed by somebody who would politically disagree or politically agree with Donald Trump. It probably was not somebody who had politically agreed with Donald Trump. So that probably has nothing to do with it. But there was no reasons given as to why the bond was lowered and why the date was extended. But again, we're just further and further delaying the justice put forward onto Donald Trump. This gives him even more time to do shenanigans. This gives him more time to avoid the justice that has been ruled against him, because it's been ruled that he violated the rules and that he has to pay. And some people might say, well, you know, this is unfair. Well, maybe he should just follow the law, right? Isn't that the conservative argument for everything? If you don't want the government to come down on you and punish you for violating the law, don't violate the law. Isn't that typically the conservative argument? Hey, Gottfried, you're not to be so blind with patriotism that you can't face reality. Wrong is wrong, no matter who says it or does it or says it. Amen, my brother. 2 hours, Dan. Got to fly, guys. All right, man. Good to see you, Nick Rich. Thank you for joining the show. I'm probably ending at some point soon anyway. I do have a funny thing to talk about before we end the show, though. I told my wife that I was going to talk about this, so I'm going to talk about this. So, neener, neener. Neener, neener on all that. If you follow me on Twitter, Rashida Jones is president of NBC. Quincy Jones' daughter was TV sitcom partner. I have to look more into the Ronda McDaniel thing before I can comment on it too much, because I don't feel like I'm informed enough at this point to make to make a decision that will or to make comments on it that are informed enough. So catch the rest later. All right, man. It's not going to be too much longer. So, my wife, back in December, it was rainy at Disney, and she slipped and fell. And it was too rainy. She slipped and fell. She thought she broke her toe. I believe her. If she believes she broke her toe, she broke her toe. A friend of ours who was a doctor was like, yeah, they really didn't do anything for broken toes. Another family friend of ours, their daughter is becoming a doctor, has become a doctor, said they don't do anything with broken toes. So all of us were just like, you know, probably don't do anything about it, because there's no reason to do anything about it, because they don't do anything about broken toes. And if it's your toe, they're not going to do anything. And we believed her that it was her toe. So she eventually just gets tired of the pain. And she goes to a podiatrist, and they take an x-ray. It's not her toe. She fractured right under her toe. And the point where she fractured right under her toe is covered by a muscle that, like, comes down from, like, I think the knee all the way down. I think it's not the sciatic nerve or whatever, but it's a muscle that comes all the way down. And because the muscle was right there leading up against the fracture, it was preventing it from healing. So my wife not only had to go get x-rays, now she has a boot. And so she's walking around with a boot. So because it's been more difficult for her to deal with things or whatever, I made dinner tonight, and I've been making dinner a lot of the nights, and it's fine. I'm happy to make dinner. I'm happy to take care of my wife. no problem. So tonight was pasta. So we had gluten-free pasta, which is actually pretty good. The one that I found is actually pretty darn good. Boiled up the pasta water, seasoned up the chicken, put it in the air fryer so it's being fried healthily. And then I serve the sauce and everything up. And my son Thomas comes in and he goes, "Why are you not heating the sauce?" Because the other day my son Thomas cooked it, similar thing, and she told him to heat the sauce. And I was like, "Well, it's not like it's cold in the fridge. There's no reason to heat the sauce. It's not like we're making sauce from scratch. It is jarred sauce, but it's a pretty good jarred sauce. There's no reason for me to make this to heat, whatever. And so Thomas walks into the room, giving her food or whatever, and my wife goes, "You did it right, Thomas. So come to find out 3 hours ago on Twitter or so, she tweets, "I just found out that my husband doesn't heat the jar of pasta sauce. He puts it in the noodles to heat. Who is this man I married? I usually heat the sauce with the noodles dumped in." And so one of my other friends like gives me side eye and she goes, like, "That's got to be a Yankee thing." And she's like, "Don't you slander my people on your husband's shortcomings. I think this is just a man thing." And then another person jumps in. "Don't slander my people." Proceeds to slander all men like it's the national pastime. Laughing faces. "I suppose there's enough blame to go around. Pasta first, sauce is heated, preferably separate, especially if that jar sauce gets doctored, but it sometimes goes into pasta after drained." And this other person says, "I said that because of my Polish ex-husband," and you're 100% right, you've got to doctor the jar sauce. So there's a potentially offensive, I don't see the potentially offensive thing. Did somebody respond to me that's not in the thread? That's kind of weird. Oh, wait, I lost the thread. Hold on. Anyway, so my wife goes, "Probably a man thing. I'm breaking the cycle, though. My kid was taught to heat it up." The other person, "We need more good women raising good men." And my other friend, I raised a man who heats up sauce in a pan separate, so not all men do that. Yankee business, LOL. Thomas asked him why he wasn't heating it up. He's like, my made me heat it up. I'm like, "You did it correctly, kid." And so I jump in after seeing all this stuff. I go, "Ahem, when I make my own from plain tomato sauce and add other ingredients, I'll prepare it in a pot so that the ingredients mix together. In fact, what I do is the first thing I do is beyond anything is the first thing I do is I'll saute some onions up and maybe other vegetables in some olive oil first before dumping the regular sauce in, and then heat that all up together so that all the flavors get in, and then maybe add in some like basil, thyme, other Italian spices and stuff like that if I'm making my own sauce. But in this particular portion, I wasn't making my own sauce. So it says, when I make my own plain tomato sauce and add other ingredients, I'll prepare it in a pot so the ingredients mix together. The people at the sauce company already did that. The sauce isn't cold. Heating it is unnecessary. It heats mixing it with the hot pasta. So then, let's see. Where else did the conversation go at that point? So I also go, was your chicken well seasoned? Was the pasta the correct texture? Did everything taste good? She was like, it was fine. But anything is fine that I don't have to cook with the boot on. And she shows the picture of her boot. And I'm like, see, I'm a loving husband who without question takes care of his klutz of a wife and makes her dinner, but yet my pasta cooking sauce is now on blast for dozens of people to see. Lots of laughs. And she goes, lots of laughs, still weird. Ken QB, you don't want the sauce to cool the pasta. Well, the sauce isn't cooling the pasta. because the sauce is a jar at room temperature. It's not like the sauce is refrigerated. If the sauce was refrigerated, I would have put the sauce in with the noodles, and I would have continued to put it on a simmer to make sure everything was well heated up so that nothing was cold. But it was room temperature sauce, so the noodles at that point could heat in the hot pan too, mind you. I didn't put it in a bowl. I put it in a hot pot. Let's see. I'm missing another part of the conversation here. So I got to get the other part of the conversation here because there's definitely a good part of the conversation. There it is. So the guy Jorge jumped in and says, sauces heated preferably separate, especially the jar sauce gets doctored. I'm like, it went into the pasta after it was drained because the sauce is one I've had before and it doesn't need doctoring. I strained the pasta, put it back in the pot, and then added the sauce and mixed it all in the pot before plating. You're not getting the whole story. And so the guy goes, I see nothing wrong here. Model efficiency, why sully up extra pots and such? But the kicker is this, and it's not spaghetti though. It's like a spiral pasta, because it wasn't spaghetti. It was just pasta, like a spirally. So it's a thicker pasta. So the best thing was Thomas comes back downstairs after eating, and my wife to him says, "Was it weird that Daddy didn't heat the pasta first?" And he's like, "Eh?" Me, I go, "Did you like it?" And Thomas is like, it was literally the same, i.e. he saw no difference in heating the pasta sauce, this pasta sauce up first and then dumping it into the pasta or doing it my way. So I'm just like, Obama mic drop, done. And she's like, damn kid. So thanks to Thomas, I am vindicated on the internet because I showed why that I did not need to do what she thought I needed to do. Rosebud, exactly. Make the pasta, apply the sauce, eat. That's exactly what I did. And thanks to my son, who backed me up here, my son had my back. But yeah, my point was, yeah. Did your chicken taste good? My chicken was well seasoned. It wasn't like it was like food that I show in my what in the unseasoned name of Karen is this Caucasity group. The tomato sauce was perfectly fine, well seasoned sauce. It's very tasty. And the noodles were cooked properly at the right, to the right, you know, texture. They weren't too soggy. They weren't too, they weren't like too al dente. They were just right. Everything was good. The only thing that she didn't like is I didn't add enough Parmesan cheese for her, but which is weird because she normally doesn't like a lot of Parmesan cheese. So I gave her a decent amount of Parmesan cheese, and she wanted more. So, whatever. So, anyway. So that's my story. I was like, well, in 45 minutes, I'm going to have a podcast, and now I have an additional story to tell my podcast because I got to tell what's going on with I got to tell this story to my viewers because I was vindicated. There was another time, another thing I was vindicated on this week too, which is funny. I'm in a bunch of groups that basically like talk about like. One of them is like another graduate of Ben Shapiro's School of Gynecology. So it typically shows guys who know nothing about the anatomy of persons with vulvas or whatever. And they'll typically like women or trans men or non-binary folks who are assigned female at birth, et cetera. They'll show these posts and whatever. And we'll discuss, mock, whatever. And this one person had posted to Reddit and was basically trying to describe what sex was like with his girlfriend and why it was different than any other girlfriend he might have had, in the past. And the way he described it is that it felt like after he was, during the process, it felt like a cave, so to speak. So, not to get too graphic or whatever, I don't want to necessarily, but there was like tightness and then Cave of Wonders, if you're a fan of Aladdin. And that's funny because I made another point that I was like, she needs to seek her out the Diamond in the Rough. Only the Diamond in the Rough can explore the Cave of Wonders, and which everybody got a good kick out of that joke, and they all had a good laugh. And I was like, because some of these people on this group can be a little sensitive, including one of the people who made some posts, and I forget exactly it is what she said, and I can't tell you right now because I think she either dirty deleted or blocked me. But she had said, yada, yada, yada. And then I said, correct. So I agreed with her. And then I said, it could also be that maybe this other thing that another poster brought up about something with like a pelvic floor being having an issue, or maybe Kegels need to be done. And all this stuff I'm saying is like, it's this, you're correct, it could be that, or it could be one of the other things. And she was like, don't mansplain me. You don't know anything that you're talking about. You're just mansplaining. And look, I understand that there are definitely guys out there who are sexist and condescending when they talk to women about various things, especially about things that they're experts on, be it their own body or things they have degrees on, etc. I get it. It happens. I don't like the term, but fine, I get it. It happens. I call it correctile dysfunction. And I was like, wait, how am I mansplaining you again? Like, I agreed with you. I wasn't trying to correct you. I actually agreed with you. And then I added another comment that was made by another poster, and here's a screenshot of that comment that I was taking it from. Like, I don't see where you're coming from. And then some of the most epic things that actually ever happened with me and this on the internet. Because typically, somebody throws out the mansplaining signal, like the bat signal, and everybody comes on to jump on the dude. And a lot of times it's vindicated because the dude's stupid or horrible or being sexist or obnoxious or whatever, and you know, they deserve to be called out on. But I had no clue what I did. I didn't think I did anything wrong. Another woman comes into the thread and she's like, whoa, hold on there, Stretch Armstrong. That's a little bit of a reach. And I'm like, heart, thank you. Like, just, hey, thank you. And the person doubles down again. I double down. I'm like, look, I'm just saying that I cited other people that I'm listening to other women and what they're saying about their bodies. I've never once contradicted you and never once did anything other than just agree with you and then say some other things that it could possibly be. That's all I ever did. But maybe an admin needs to get in here and get involved. And other people, a lot more people were like liking my comment and liking the other comment in support of me. And I go to my little group of friends on Facebook that like most of the, when we formed Voltron, most of us are in that group. Like, so you had Demonox, who's the first Liberal Dan Radio patron. You had Nimbus Yost, the host of the most, with the Smooth Sounds of the Percy podcast. Your boy Chris, who used to be a Liberal Dan Radio patron, but he's having some tough times. A bunch of other people, you know, maybe one or two other people in this chat group. And I was like, something epic is about to happen, I think, because all of these people seem to be coming to my defense, and typically that doesn't happen here. And then all of a sudden, the admins came in and were like, look, you were called out for your reaching to this other woman, and you didn't even offer an apology. You didn't even do anything except double down on your being wrong. So you're going to get muted for 3 days. And don't come back and comment on this thread again. I was like, yes, I win. It was so epic because there's there's one thing that I don't like about like sometimes we'll overuse that term. Like sometimes people use the term mansplaining as a crutch when they're called out on being wrong. And instead of just admitting that they're wrong and apologize, they'll double down on it and just say, you're just mansplaining. And it's just like, no, sometimes it's not mansplaining. Sometimes you're just wrong. And in this case, you're wrong. But I can't say that as a dude, because if I say that, then they're going to come back. You're not, are you mansplaining now? Which is why I was very grateful that there was a woman who came into the thread who said, you're stretching. This is a reach. You're wrong. And then the admins came in and were like, you're wrong. This dude was not doing what you said he was doing. And I'm like, and the reason I called the admin, because I didn't want to have it devolve any further. Because I like the group. I don't want to leave the group. But, you know.
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. Trucker John says, got to have some garlic bread. But I would love some garlic bread. Problem is that gluten-free garlic bread is hard to find, and my wife has celiac, so therefore I would either have to make some garlic bread in my little toaster, or we have to find the celiac-friendly. There is some celiac-friendly garlic bread, but we don't currently have any at the time. I haven't found any at the shop that usually, at the Winn-Dixie that usually has it, so can't have it. Trucker John. I mean, they're not a, there was like one or two of those, and I wouldn't necessarily call them militant femmes or whatever. But definitely there are definitely people in those groups that do latch on to the everything a man does is wrong regardless of what he does, and we're always going to attack a dude regardless of what he says. And usually I avoid such people, but I had no reason to believe that this person was that type of person. So that's why I was agreeing with the person. I was like, I agree with you. And then here's some other options. Here's another option that another woman said. And they were like, you're wrong. Like, I'm sorry I'm wrong for listening to women about their bodies. Women and their bodies. I'm doing what I was supposed to do. I'm listening to women about their bodies. I'm trying to help and I'm trying to show support by agreeing with you. And yet I'm still a shithead, I guess. So... See, hold on, I'm missing a story from Jeff. Let's see. Do. Sometimes I like noodles with just butter and salt. There's a great company down here that makes, like, it's like seasoned butter or whatever. Like, they used to call it shrimp butter, but they can't call it shrimp butter anymore because it doesn't have shrimp in it. So it's kind of like maybe they call it boil butter or Nola butter or something because it has like New Orleans type seasonings in it. And I used to make pasta and like cook and heat the pasta in that butter. And oh, it was so good. To talk to a couple after the show, they waited in line so they could talk to the band. We were there. Son said, hey, let my dad back there with me. The woman said, what? And I don't know what else is after that story or whatever. Trucker John, I probably quote mansplain all the time without even realizing. Well, that's the thing. A lot of guys do it, and it takes some self-awareness to try and fight the urge to. The first thing you should do is if you're ever talking to a woman and you start off the sentence with "well, actually," just stop right there because you might be treading into those splaining waters or whatever. The reason I don't like the term is because there's versions of everything. Like I talked about this on the podcast a while back where there was like somebody called something Jew-splaining and I was like, what? And then there's goy-splaining. Like, you know, Jews will call it goy-splaining if a non-Jewish person is trying to explain Judaism things. There's white-splaining. There's straight-splaining. There's all sorts of splaining. And I think the term correctile dysfunction just covers everything like that. Just use the term correctile dysfunction. It's funnier, and it, you know, makes the same point, I think. Other people disagree with me that it doesn't make the same rhetorical point because it's typically men doing it. But whatever. But again, it happened to me one time with a woman passenger that I had. while driving for Uber or Lyft. It might have been a Lyft. The person, because a lot of times what the whole splaining thing comes down to is because of the appearances of who they are, in this case, a man looking at a woman, they assume that because of their appearance or because of who they are, i.e. being a woman, that they can't possibly know about this thing. Therefore, the man takes it upon himself to educate this person about the things that they know about without realizing the fact that they don't need to, because the women are already like experts in the field. Like some woman who had written Deadpool was going to go to Deadpool comic books and like relaunch the Deadpool comic books. I forget her name, but because I'm not that huge of a comic book nerd when it comes to actual reading the comic books. I like the comic book movies, but I don't necessarily read the comic books themselves. So she was in line and having some dude talk to her all and telling her all about Deadpool and why Deadpool is awesome or whatever. And she's like, I wrote Deadpool. I know this stuff. Thank you. I mean, and how's the guy supposed to know? I mean, but it's just an example. Like if you're at a wedding and you hire a woman as a wedding photographer and you start trying to tell the woman who's the photographer at your wedding how to do her job because you assume that you don't do the same thing for a dude or whatever. Like that's an example of the erectile dysfunction that people need to cure themselves of. Right? So, but there was one time I was driving for Lyft and it was a great conversation with this woman passenger. And she was great. I mean, she was intelligent woman, very nice, kind of cute, but not relevant to the story. But I do remember her being definitely my type, a thick-licious type woman, if you will, curvy. And again, not crossing any lines or anything, but you know, I was totally professional and appropriate with her. But the... we were talking about bonus structures and how the bonus structures work at the time for Uber and Lyft. And I was like, yeah, it's, you know, I'm really trying to figure out a way to try and figure out how these bonus structures are assigned, because they sometimes seem to be random, but I don't know if it's based off of ratings or it's based off of rides given and whatever. And she was like, well, I work in public health. And in public health, we do a whole bunch of data modeling. And she was kind of, at this point, a little bit, she sounded a little bit condescending and trying to talk down to me about this. And that's how I felt. And I was like, oh, I work for public health too. I work for LPHI. And she was like, I was like, yeah, this is a part-time gig. My full-time job is working for Louisiana Public Health Institute. She was like, oh, okay. She was not expecting that to happen. She assumed that because I am a Uber or Lyft driver, that I couldn't possibly know about the things that she was talking to me about. And then she's like, well, if you're working, but then she continued. And she was like, well, and then you could create some, so you could have some program written and you could have a database. And I'm like, I'm a software developer for LPHI. She's like, oh. It was just like, yeah, I was just explained to in my ride. No, and I was like, I'm trying. And I didn't bring it up in my thread until somebody else actually brought it up. I was like, look, somebody else brought up the whole mansplaining thing, and I was like, this is why I don't like the term, is because, you know, I don't fight it that much recently. I haven't made it as, it used to be something I talked about more often. I don't talk about it recently. I haven't talked about it recently, but it, since it came up in the thread, or, you know, the other day, and then I figured the story is relevant. I was just like, this is just an example of how this person was condescending and classist to me, because she assumed that because I was choosing to drive Lyft and Uber, that I couldn't possibly know about these things. So she made an assumption. She prejudged me for this occupation that I was currently doing, not understanding the fact that I was in the exact same damn field as she was, just trying to make a little extra money for my family at the time. Because at that time, it wasn't full-time Uber and Lyft. I was part-time Uber and Lyft and full-time LPHI, just to make sure I had more money for my family and my kids. So I guess, you know, so it's like a way that she could have avoided that situation would be like, You know, she could have started off the situation like, is this your full-time job or do you do other work? And that could, then I could have said, oh, this is my part-time job. I work in public health. I'm a software developer. And at that point, we could have just talked as peers and colleagues on how we would figure out the issue instead of her talking down to me. But, you know, it happens and...
It is what it is.
Thank you, Donald. I think I might have had the last "it is what it is" muted out. So, do I take calls from the Great White North? If you could take a call, if you could make the call from Canada to here, if it doesn't cost you anything, I mean, I do, but I'm literally about to end the show. So, let's see. You sub rolls for the garlic bread. You probably know some good gluten-free rolls. Yeah, we'd have to find some. It apparently depends on the bakers who make them at any given time. There used to be just one game in town, and they're, I think, very annoyed at the fact that now there are so many other people in town making gluten-free goods that they just don't like it. And my wife runs now a gluten-free market like every month. Like she's put it on herself she's running a gluten-free group. And I'm very proud. Again, I talked about this before. I think I'm very proud of her for all of the good things she's doing with this, because she's really not making any money off of it. Not at all. I think I probably make more money selling my cookies than she does. And even then it's not a lot. I don't think I'm making a hand over fist profit over it. I'm just making the cookies just because, you know, I like making the cookies. The kids love my cookies. And nobody, like, I had, as we call muggles sometimes, I was serving my regular chocolate chip cookies that were gluten-free. Like, no, I did make some dairy-free runs as well because someone had requested them, and then they never showed up. And I'm like, but I made my gluten-free chocolate chip cookies, and one of the regular people came in on the Friday night and was like, and bought one of them off of me and was like, These are not gluten. How are these gluten-free? Because my chocolate chip cookies are just that good. And the ones that are really good were the ones that we're calling peppermint hot chocolate chip cookies, like peppermint chips, marshmallow chips, and chocolate chips and as a chocolate chip cookie. And I gave one to one of the other bakers, and she was like, these are dangerous. These are really good. Like, the people love my cookies. Like, I make really good cookies. I mean, one would hope that I would be able to make a really good cookie, right? I know I could eat a good cookie, but I can make a good cookie as well. Trucker John, people ask me if I drive Uber full time. I say no. They ask me, what else do? I say nothing. Then there's a silence, and they usually say, oh, that's cool. Hilarious. But yeah, if anybody is ever coming down to visit New Orleans, and if we're going to hang out and you want some cookies, I'll make a batch of cookies so you can try some of my cookies, because I like making my cookies. Thank you, Donna, for joining. Chucker John, you got a lot of explaining to do, Lucy. Hey, Lucy, you got a lot of explaining to do. Anyway, but as a big hook, next time you're more than welcome to call in. You know, I don't know how much a call would cost you to do 914. I don't know how Canada... I mean, I think some plans do consider Canada America calls are like included in the plans. I don't know how they do it up there, eh? One other thing that's funny. Speaking of Canada, my wife is so, it's like, whenever she says sorry, she actually says sorry. And I'm like, are you from Canada? What? How the hell do you get that? Because she's from New Orleans. She's only ever lived in New Orleans at all. Like, the only time she's not lived in New Orleans proper is when she was in school up in Ruston, and when she lived with me in Kenner for like a few months before we moved back to New Orleans. And so, but she says sorry like she's Canadian. And all of a sudden the other day, like, she's talking about the medical apparatus that she has on her foot. And she's like, yeah, I need to get something about a boot. I'm like, wait, you're saying a boot now too? You're not just saying sorry, you're also saying a boot? You're really a Canadian now. Anyway, that is the end of this week, of today's episode of Liberal Dane Radio, Talk from the Left, that's right. Tomorrow, I will be on Tuesday night, probably 7 or 8-ish, somewhere around there, to do NerdyDan.com on Twitch, most likely just on Twitch, twitch.tv/NerdyDan.com. Then otherwise, if you're not going to be there to join us and shooting the breeze, it's probably going to be a lot of Dreamlight Valley again because I have a lot of catching up to do there. Afterwards, whatever, but Wednesday, same bat time, same bat channel, 8 p.m. Wednesday night, from More Liberal Dan Radio. Talk from the left. That's right.